around the Beltway to around the world. News, talk, and conversation. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices. Sirius XM Channel 141 presents The Daily Drum with Harold Fisher.
Welcome to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is a special edition of the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Many of you have enjoyed your day off, but did you take a moment to think about those who have fought for our country? Are we forgetting their sacrifices so that we can enjoy the freedoms in this country? And what about veterans of color? Have they been forgotten for decades? Well, on this Veterans Day, we are talking about an effort to do more, to recognize them and their sacrifices. My guests are Howard Lambert, president of the Freedom Foundation, also Dr. Paulette Hubbard. She's a licensed clinical social worker, but she is also a Marine Corps veteran. She served 20 years in active duty and one as a reserve Marine Corps veteran. Well, you can tweet me tonight at H. Fisher, W-H-U-R, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. We're not taking any phone calls tonight, but certainly we invite you to listen to the conversation. So please join this conversation again, and we invite you to just take a listen and give some consideration to the issues that we are discussing tonight. Dr. Hubbard and Mr. Lambert, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Carl, thanks so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I want to kind of lay a bit of groundwork here, Mr. Lambert. What is the Freedom Foundation?
The Freedom Foundation is a nonprofit organization dedicated to highlighting the service and sacrifices of what we refer to as United States Colored Troops, or USCT, during the American Civil War. And you alluded to early on about soldiers being forgotten or know very little about. And these men were heroes, and it's taken decades really for them to get the recognition that they're due, and we're our organization is designed to bring service or additional highlight to their service and sacrifice during the Civil War. Mm.
Why are you passionate about this? How did this come about? What was the genesis of this for you?
Oh, boy, that's a great word when you say passion, because I am definitely passionate about this, because I grew up in a small southern town, in which all we heard about was, you know, the Johnny Reb and Robert E. Lee and that type of thing. And little did I know until I was exposed much later on in life about the service and sacrifice of a number of USCIS, United States Colored Troops, who were from my hometown, a small town not too far from Washington, D.C., in which were 120 of them actually served in the American Civil War. That story has never been told. And I'm determined to tell their story, not their story, but those of over 200,000 United States Colored Troops during the American Civil War.
Mm, interesting. And so you are, you want to make sure that the history of these soldiers is not just known, but celebrated.
Absolutely. You know, it's one thing to be able to go to schools and churches and different other locations to tell the public. But so often, if you've got something physical to remind them of the service and sacrifice of United States Colored Troops, it means a lot more. And that's part of what the Freedom Foundation is dedicated to doing, not just telling the story, but also putting together historical markers, monuments, anything that we can to remind the public of their contributions to the American Civil War, and that's what we're all about. Let me just add that we only tell the stories, not just the stories of United States Colored Troops, but also their officers, too. They were a tremendous danger leading the units during the Civil War, and so we're trying to highlight their service and sacrifice as well. But we want to tell a complete story, because it's all part of the fabric of America during the American Civil War, and that story needs to be told. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hubbard, what does Veterans Day mean for you? You spent, you know, 21 years in service. That's a long time.
Yes, it's a very long time, and thanks for having me on this show.
Sure.
Veterans Day for me is just that, about honoring those the veterans that have not only sacrificed and served, but those that have lost their lives for the freedom of our country. You know, for 21 years, serving, I definitely know the challenges, not just personally, but professionally, the challenges that families go through for veterans to be able to serve our country. So it's really about honoring and acknowledging those sacrifices that have been made across all services, no one particular service. We all have our own mission. And so honoring all of those, all the branches of service and the people that have served, and specifically as Mr. Lambert has talked about, African Americans and even people of color that often aren't acknowledged, and especially back during World War II, Civil War, and so forth, where they fought for freedom that we literally, in some ways, didn't have those freedoms. And so acknowledging and honoring those people and giving them their just due is so important to me. And I'm so glad that his organization has taken up this initiative to make that happen. Mm.
Tell me about your service. Why did you decide to enlist in the Marine Corps? What was behind your decision? I mean, why the Marine Corps? Why not the Navy? Why not the Army or any other branch of the service? What's the story behind that for you?
I mean, the Marine Corps is the elite force. I have to throw that out there, that plug out there. But honestly, I was graduating from high school. My parents didn't have money to send me to college. And the recruiter came along and he talked about offering that opportunity to not only serve my country and to give back, but to also pay for school. And it has done that. But once I joined, my initial intention was to only do 4 years. I was only going to serve 4 years and get out and go on. But as I joined the Corps and started to learn more about service and the importance of defending our country and all of the opportunities and those things that come with it, I stayed and I enjoyed being able to serve.
Hmm. One of the things that we often hear today, we often hear the term patriots politicized. Mm-hmm. And it often is associated with, you know, conservatives and right wing, you know, politics. But the reality is that, you know, and I would argue, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll start with you, Dr. Hubbard, but you, Mr. Lambert, are not a veteran. But talk to me about, in your mind, you know, Dr. Hubbard, the true foundation of that word, because I think it can be argued that just about anyone who decides to serve, no matter what branch of the military, once they, you know, they raise their hand and they agree to lay down their life and serve this country, would be considered a patriot and not look at the political ramifications that have often or recently been associated with that term.
Right. And I go back to the historical meaning of patriot, and it's a person who loves their country and is ready to serve, as you said, ready to serve and maybe even die for their country in order to support and defend it and its liberties and its rights. One of the benefits of me traveling and being in the Marine Corps for 20 years and being able to not only visit but live in other countries, I really learned to appreciate, even though as people of color and African American, we have some difficulties with discrimination and so forth, we are still, there are some liberties and some freedoms that we have that others in other countries don't experience. And so I learned to appreciate the country in that way, as when being in the Marine Corps and traveling, you know, the different countries and seeing how other people lived.
Yeah. Your thoughts about that, Mr. Lambert?
Well, Harold, I believe they were patriots in the truest meaning of the word, given that college soldiers in a civil war knew that if they were captured, they may not be taken prison, but would give them what they call no quarter, which means to be shot on sight. And part of what we've done in reference to the dedication memorial recently is to honor those men who were captured and killed by the Confederate Army. So a lot of them knew, unlike their counterparts in Union uniform, they knew based on order was passed by the Confederate Congress that if they were captured, they would be shot on sight. And that's what happened on May the 8th, 1864 in Culpeper, Virginia. So they gave up their life for their country, for freedom. And so they would, the patriots, my mind, the true sense of the word, and certainly we honor those men on Veterans Day.
On this Veterans
Day. And let's not just forget the men. There are women, too. So, you know, I know Civil War there weren't women serving, but there were also, you know, the women are often not forgotten, but they're not mentioned as often as the men that serve. And so I would think it's just really important that we not forget the women that also serve.
Yes, indeed. And I do want to drill down a little bit more in this conversation, but I do want to remind our listeners that this is a special edition of the Daily Drum on this Veterans Day. We are talking about honoring our veterans, particularly our veterans of color. And we are also talking about three black soldiers executed by Confederates back in 1864. And we are talking with Mr. Howard Lambert, president of the Freedom Foundation, and his efforts to honor them. Also, we are talking with Dr. Paulette Hubbard. She is a licensed clinical social worker. She is also a Marine Corps veteran. We are not taking any phone calls tonight, but we certainly encourage you to listen. And certainly you may also tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher as we move forward in this conversation. Talk to me about the research that you did, Mr. Lambert, about these soldiers. Drill down a little bit more when you were, you know, trying to find out more about this, because I would imagine that it wasn't really easy to find out a lot of information.
You're correct, Harold. It's not something that you would readily find among the records, and it requires some deep research going through the letters from the soldiers. And in this case of the May 8th, 1864, is based on the diary of a gentleman in the 9th Virginia Cavalry. So it's not that easy to come up with that information. It requires a lot of digging, certainly firsthand accounts of what had taken place. Obviously, you want to get multiple accounts if you possibly can. But let me just mention that. Now, we focus on the event in Culpeper, Virginia on that date in 1864, but it wasn't an isolated incident. There were many cases of U.S. United States Colored Troops who were killed on the Civil War, more specifically at Saltville, Virginia, Fort Pillow. And it was a rally cry for many USCTs, remember Fort Pillow, because of what had happened there. So, but to get back to your question more specifically, you know, you have to do a lot of digging in terms of research, but it's interesting that most of the accounts come from the Confederates themselves. They wrote about this in their accounts of what had taken place in the various different locations in certain state of Virginia, what had taken place. Based on my research, the three that were killed there were more. Just that we were highlighting those three because it's close to a couple of historic locations. But based on some additional research that we've done, it looks like probably an instance when USCTs were captured and killed as well. But once again, the monument dedicated to those three. But it was not uncommon for that to happen in several places during the Civil War.
So how did you go about that research, and what did you find?
Well, I did research in the State Library of Virginia and got the firsthand account from the diary of Burr Charles Willis. And he very clearly states in his diary, even if it takes only basic about three sentences, he talked about on that day in 1864 in which we came across these United States Colored Troops and just might have been shot him. And what was striking to me is it was almost like it was a common occurrence. It was like no big deal. You know, we did what we always do. And based on that account and some additional research I came across, it just seemed to be that was something they actually just did. You know, they didn't, there was no burial night ceremony, anything like that. They didn't capture them and send them down to Belle Island in Richmond, which is what they would have done to Union white soldiers. They were not afforded that that opportunity, but just given no quarter and shot right there. But based on firsthand accounts from the diary of Burr Charles Willis, was in the 9th Virginia Cavalry, that's how we came across that account.
Hmm. Your thoughts about that? I heard that, Dr. Hubbard, what were you thinking?
That this is a story that we often hear about African Americans that served during that time, during the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, where they're not given their just due and they're not honored as their white counterparts. In regard to some of the heroism that they have displayed and that they showed. When we talk about status quo, them doing this is what they do, that really is, it's our job. You know, when I was on active duty, I knew what my job was, and it was my job. At the time, I didn't see it as anything extraordinary or anything out of the norm. It was my norm. So, but it's not. It's very typical, as Mr. Lambert has shared, that we don't often get, we don't often see those that were heroes during that era honored in the way that they should be.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's a typical story. It's not something out of the ordinary.
You know, one of the things that we have seen more of in recent years is the honoring of Black service members, not just obviously from the Civil War, but in just about every conflict that the United States has been involved in, from World War One all the way up to, you know, some of the most recent conflicts. And it seems to be, you know, an attempt to recognize the, you know, the heroism that we've seen from, you know, Black soldiers, sailors, airmen, and the like, for more than 100 years. It's certainly a long time coming, but I think, you know, Mr. Lambert, that what you are attempting to do is a sign that more needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And some would argue that these are our first steps, but certainly if you had your druthers, what else should be done? What could be done to record? Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, I would encourage your listeners to do more research into their family history, because a tremendous number of people during the Civil War who were in a color served. Based on some estimates, as many as 85% of the eligible colored men, Black men in those days, actually served on the Civil War. So chances are, my listeners out there, you probably got someone who served on the Civil War. And let me just stress something that was said a few minutes earlier. You know, we focus on the three men in Culpeper who were killed, but these folks were not victims. They were heroes. Heroes. They had gone to the North, had gotten our freedom, and they could have stayed in the North at Pentagon City, Camp Casey, and going parts north, but they came back to secure freedom for their ancestors or the people who they left behind, and they felt the need to do that. In fact, it was President Lincoln who said it was a colored soldier who tipped the balance for the Union. I mean, that's pretty significant, don't you think? I mean, so that's worthy of more research, and I encourage people to look into their own history because there's a source of strength there. And, you know, they made a tremendous sacrifice for certainly where we are today. And what they did was as American as you can possibly get, right? They showed courage, persistence, endurance, all the things that we hold so near and dear today. Mm-hmm. And so these men should never be forgotten.
Go right ahead, Dr. Hubbard.
Oh, I was just agreeing with Mr. Lambert. Absolutely. And it in looking at our history across services, you know, you have the Tuskegee Airmen, you have the Montreport Point Marines that, and it's interesting that for as far back as the Civil War, African Americans served in the Army. Marine Corps didn't allow African Americans to enlist until 1941. So you know, when we talk, look at the disparity, and then they were still segregated once they enlisted. So absolutely looking at that history and understanding our family history of those who served and the important role that they played. I was just basically saying ditto to what Mr. Lambert has said.
Harold, let me just add, if I may. I've been focusing, most of my research has been obviously on the Civil War, but let's not forget about the American Revolutionary War. Let's not forget about the Buffalo Soldiers. You know, when the Civil War ended in 1865, then we had the Buffalo Soldiers, the 9th and 10th Cavalry, and their contributions out west, and certainly the American Revolutionary War. I just discovered today, believe it or not, that I'm actually a descendant of someone who served on the American Revolutionary War. So we've contributed in every conflict in 1812. We've been there. And so no better day to celebrate on Veterans Day the contributions of African American folks during the American Civil, I mean, during the wars in this country, and as you know, Dr. Hubbard said, also let's not talk about the women. We got to tell the story too. You know, this story needs to be told.
Where might someone find this information today, Mr. Lambert? As you said, outside of these three soldiers who were killed in Culpeper, when you're talking about digging deep, it seems to me that, like so many stories, they are scattered to the four winds of history and in the four winds or the archives of the four winds. I mean, how do you know, for those who are just looking for more information?
Well, that's a great question. I know when I started many years ago, I mean, you had no choice but go to the different county courthouses and libraries around and spend considerable time on the road and getting there. I've traveled far and wide, initially doing my research from Alabama to Orange County, Virginia, all over the place. But a lot of it's accessible now through online research. Different organizations have sites that you can go to that you can do some research on your Civil War ancestors, as well as American Revolutionary War as well. So avail yourself to what's online today. It will save you a lot of time and effort traveling all over the place. There are a lot more genealogists out there who are willing to provide assistance in terms of helping you know the process. So you don't necessarily have to, you know, get and travel all over the country looking for this information. A lot of it's already out there. And I tell people to avail themselves to the various different websites that are out there that will help you start your research. Also, do what I did. My grandfather was, and thank God he lived to be 104, and I spent a lot of time talking to him. But as they say, when you're doing genealogical research, talk to your oldest living relative, and they can provide some insights, and you can go back and connect the dots, help you for a lot in terms of your research. So start with your oldest living relative and see what they can share with you about their background, and then connect the dots from there. But once again, a lot of stuff available online today. I encourage you to do that.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to both of you about some of the other things that you've done to honor veterans. Believe it or not, and you'll find this, and I'm saying this to our listeners, Mr. Lambert has had some movie work, and I think you'll find that to be quite interesting. Also, some of the things in her current capacity that Dr. Hubbard is doing to help the mental health of some veterans. And Dr. Hubbard, I'd like to hear more about what you're doing to make sure that our veterans are doing what they can do to stay in their best mental health, if you don't mind talking about that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to share.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM. Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds.